As a child, I was really into astronomy. Yes. Slightly nerdy. I used to love staying up late at night. I don't know whether my mum knew this, but I would have... Don't listen to this, Abigail. I would be reading astronomy books, and I would love to find out how old stars were and how big they were and how long they might last and the idea that they may eventually one day turn into a big red giant and then eventually just sort of either implode or explode, and you've got supernovas and black holes and all of that kind of thing. And I loved it. And I also grew up in the age of Star Wars, you know, which, yeah, I love it in church where you can say Jesus and everybody goes like this, and then you say something like Star Wars and everyone's, yay! Anyway, maybe we should get little plastic models of Jesus and the Nativity and have a little, and we can go around and... Like, I've got a Death Star at home, cardboard one. We can turn that into a nativity scene next year if that will draw a crowd. Right. I can't believe I've been, like, two lines down in my notes and we're already off track. But anyway, so I grew up in that time and, you know, so I used to think, you know, I wonder if this is a real thing. Not a real thing as in that they've actually filmed this in another galaxy, but maybe there is life somewhere else out there, you know, and I got fascinated with this, so the distances involved and light years, and you know, it was a thing for me, a really big thing. And then the understanding the Big Bang, you know, the idea that everything just started in this tiny point, and then it just exploded, and everything just came from that. Just loved it. And then, you know, you'd peer through the telescope, and you'd look out, and you'd see. Well, actually, it wasn't exciting when I peered through my telescope, because I could just see the little dot there was just slightly bigger, so I didn't quite get the excitement of that, but I read the books. And then in 1990, when I was still just a child, the Hubble telescope was launched, and which was a game changer if anybody's into this kind of thing. And so you get outside of the Earth's atmosphere, and you can see a lot further. And and this is a picture from the Hubble telescope. Anyone know what that is? Oh, come on. It's obviously the, let me see now from my notes, the Mark Orion Galaxy, which is apparently, so they tell me, 450 million light years away. And we've got a picture of it, okay? And so what telescopes do, if you don't understand, it's a bit hard to get your head around, but telescopes can look, like the Hubble telescope, can look so far into the sky that they can look into the past, into history, because the light that was coming from that galaxy started, so they tell me, life 450 million years ago. So that's what it looked like then, but that's what we see it now because it's that far away. Does that make sense? So as you're looking through a telescope, you're looking at the past. Thank you. Good. Hallelujah. So we've got a amen to Star Wars and a yes to telescopes working. This is good going. And so we look through telescopes to try and find the origins of everything. And so you look through a telescope like the Hubble telescope to try, and actually they're trying to get to see as far, as close as they can to the Big Bang. Now, there's a new telescope being launched apparently next year, which I forget the name of, which is going to be able to look even further back. And so they're going to get to something like, I think it was 100 million years after the Big Bang, so they say. Now, if you're into six-day creation, 6,000 years, then I'm not going to argue with that, and I'm not here to argue about that, but we're just going with the science for now, okay? So telescopes, through light and electromagnets, they allow us to see into the past, and quite a long way into the past nowadays. But the Bible actually gives us a different kind of lens, and it allows us also to see into the past. And if you know your Bibles, Genesis 1 begins with the words, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then it says, "God said, let there be light, and there was light." Now, I kind of think, and you've probably heard this before, but actually that kind of fits a bit with what the science shows. Those two things don't argue with each other. Light, bang, light, all the same thing as far as I'm concerned. But in John 1, which is the first reading, if you were there earlier, in John 1, it says, it begins with, "In the beginning was the Word." So, before God said, let there be light, there was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And so actually John 1, the reading we first read, lets us peer back through the lens of Scripture to a time before the Big Bang, or whatever you want to call it, even before God said, "Let there be light," there was the Word. And so if you want to have some kind of understanding of the beginning, really, we don't start with the beginning. I know it's a confusing book, isn't it, sometimes. Maybe not start with the beginning of the Bible, but actually the beginning of John gives us this idea that before he even spoke, there was the Word there in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. That's how the Bible describes the beginning of the universe. And it says, through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made. And so we peer back and we see that. And then we peer back and we maybe sort of wind the lens in a bit, and we look back to Christmas 2,000 years ago. So that's sort of, in space terms, we're now looking at the moon in sort of time. And it says also in John, the Word became flesh. So that Word that was right there in the very beginning, before the beginning, then became flesh. And you might want to think of it a bit like this, because in the beginning was the Word, and everything was made through the Word, and that's a bit of a confusing thing. And if you want to sort of think of it one way, Emma and I were talking about this a month or so ago, think of this as like Jesus, the Word becoming flesh. Think of it like this, it's the Big Bang. All of Einstein's laws of relativity, if you understand those, and all the energy and all the creativity and everything that went into creation, however it happened, all bundled up into a person. The Word became flesh, and he arrived on the scene at Christmas time. The Word who was with God came and dwelt with us. The Word who was there in the beginning came to earth 2,000 years ago. And it says the Word was with the Father. It's talking about Jesus being with the Father. From the very before the beginning, there was this relationship between God and the Father and God the Son. And by his grace, he allowed us into that relationship, because the Word was with God in the beginning, and then the Word dwelt with us so that we could live with him too. And so as we peer through the lens of Scripture, we see right from the beginning, the Word was there, and then as we look through the lens of Scripture, we see the Word comes to us. But as we read John 1, and you can read it again for yourselves, it says that he was rejected, and right from the beginning it seems that he was rejected by his people. He came to those whom he made, and those people rejected him. He came to his own people, and they didn't want to have anything to do with him. The Maker of mankind came to mankind, and mankind said, "No, we don't want you." He came to his people. They said, "No." But it says in John, it says, but to anyone who does receive him, they're the ones who have the right to become the children of God. And so in receiving Jesus, the Word become flesh, people move from just this scientific sort of science-based biological life, you know, the kind of thing where if I got my binoculars out, I can see Wendy a bit closer, and I went up to her, I can pot and probe, we could maybe analyse her under a microscope and say, this is scientific life in flesh. But when we receive Jesus, we move from just a biological life, if you like, into eternal life. Because the Word became flesh, the light of the world, and that light gives life to those who receive him. It says in John that the Word became flesh. The Word that was there in the beginning, the Big Bang, if you like, wrapped up in flesh. And we have seen his glory, it says in John. Until 2,000 years ago, the glory of God was a very hidden thing. Moses asked to see God's glory, and he basically said, "No, not really. You're going to have to hide your face. You can see my behind, not my face." And a few people saw glimpses of it, and maybe at a distance, and maybe sort of in a kind of partial way. But 2,000 years ago, the Word became flesh, and we saw his glory. The light which gives light to everyone. The life of mankind has come into the world. True light has come into the world. And those who receive him, we receive eternal life. So we can look through the lens of the Hubble telescope and we can see amazing, glorious wonders. And I recommend, if you get a chance, just go online and click on the NASA website and you can see some amazing things, things that I believe God has created and made for us just to kind of go, wow, that's incredible. But even better than that, even better than Star Wars, if we look through the lens of Scripture, we find the true light. The Word who was in the beginning, who was with God, through whom everything was made, has taken on flesh and has come to this world and dwelt with us. We may see him and know his light and his glory. And everyone who receives him receives eternal life. So this Christmas, get the lens of the Bible out. Just allow Jesus to come to you and receive the light of life, eternal life. Amen.